Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everyone? Happy Friday. It is officially the weekend. This is the Cave Show. This is PLR. And what the heck? I figured I'd take it back a little bit. What's going on, everyone? If you're an 80s baby, you love this stuff. Like I said, this is PLR. This is the Cave Show. Hopefully, everyone has had a good week, and hopefully, you are ready for the weekend. Hopefully, you're stepping into that bad boy with your head held high, ready to get into some football, ready to get into some baseball. And as of Monday, looks like we'll be getting into some basketball as well. Everyone, like I said, this is the Cave Show. This is PLR. Let's talk about it real quick. But before we do all that, let you know we're sponsored by the one and only Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located on Alma School in Chandler Heights in Chandler, Arizona. Best selection of cigars in the Phoenixland area. You know I stole that from saying Chicagoland. But in the Phoenix area, get on down there and let them know that PLR from the Cave Show sent you. They'll take 10% off of any cigar purchase that you have. Again, this is PLR with the Cave Show letting you know. If you let them know that I sent you down there, you can get 10% off of any cigar purchase that you have. And listen, folks, they have probably the best cigar selection in the Valley. You can become a member, which I definitely advise. There's nothing worse than buying a bunch of cigars. You take them home. You don't have the right humidor. You don't have the right equipment. And they go bad. You just wasted your money. Well, as a member, you get a locker with your nameplate on front. And that locker backs up your own personal locker, backs up to a humidor, so your cigars would never go bad. Sit down and check it out. You have over 11 TVs there to watch. And there's always sports going on. They do have the NFL League Pass. They stay open until the last game goes off on Sunday, Monday, and Thursday. So get in there and check them out. That is Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located on Chandler Heights and Alma School in Chandler, Arizona. We have some NFL to get into, but before we get into some NFL and a little bit of baseball and basketball, I just want to talk a little bit about college football. Like I said, we usually give you some games to watch, some games to look out for. Next week we will be introducing our top 20. We never do it early in the season because no one ever knows. We're all going on speculations after four games in. Usually have a feel of what the season is going like, and then we put out our top 20 of the week. A lot of people have said to me before, well, you already know, you've got an idea of ratings. Well, same thing with the championship series. They don't know exactly. Excuse me. They don't know exactly until they watch some games, because there's definitely some teams that are going to be overrated when the season starts. There are going to be some teams that are underrated when the season starts. So I want to give you some games that I would watch, that I would definitely look out for. The first game that I will watch is the Florida State game against North Carolina State. This is their first game without DeAndre Francois. So I definitely want to watch this game and see what they're like, see how they respond. First game without their starting quarterback. He's out, obviously, for the season. So I definitely want to see what's up with Florida State. That, I believe, is a game to watch. Number two, Clemson, Boston College comes to town. I know you may be saying, well, why? Why would you watch that game? Clemson is showing that they're such a great team. But these are the games, and these are the teams that you have to be careful with. They're coming into your stadium. You want to see, as a coach, you want to make sure your guys aren't reading their own press clippings. They come out the gate strong. But this is a game I'm interested in seeing how they look. How they look against not necessarily a ranked team, but a tough team. Oklahoma State and TCU. TCU is ranked, and TCU is always good. Oklahoma State will kill you with their offense. TCU is predicated on offense as well. So that's another game I just want to see how the flow goes. A game I'm definitely interested in watching. Michigan, Purdue. Purdue's no joke, y'all. Listen, let me tell you something. Purdue can play a little bit. in Michigan, and they're, I want to say, the underwhelming defense. I mean, offense, the defense is overwhelming. The offense has been a little bit underwhelming. Watch what happens when they go into Purdue, because Purdue actually will be ready for them. Mississippi State goes to Georgia. Mississippi State is coming off a huge win, which I told you guys about, against LSU, but now they're going down between the hedges in Athens. This should be a great game to watch. Mississippi State, that big win against LSU, let's see if that was, I don't want to call it a fluke, but let's see if they can play up to that level 2 weeks in a row. Georgia coming off a big win against Notre Dame. This game is at home. Let's see what they can do. San Diego State has to feel like the Rodney Dangerfield of college football. Even though Arizona State is not anything to tip your glasses about, they are a Pac-12 team. They went on the road, beat them. They welcomed Stanford at their house, beat them. And somehow in the national polls, they're still only ranked number 22. They're going to Air Force, a tough place to win. Let's see if they have their chip on their shoulder saying, wait a second now, we beat two Pac-12 teams and we still get no love. Let's see what happens when they march into Air Force. Let's see if they can keep that same chip on their shoulder. Game that I'm interested in, and I'm calling this my upset of the week. No real reason why. Maybe I'm just going out on a limb. I don't know. There's no real rhyme, no real reason. But I think Kentucky's going to play Florida a lot tougher than a lot of folks think. Games in Kentucky, I have no rhyme. I have no reason. There's nothing. They're saying to me Kentucky's a great football team. But I don't like Florida on the road. I didn't like them last week at home against Tennessee. Tennessee just crapped the bed. That's why Florida won that game. So I'm really interested in watching this one. I don't know if Florida's going to look that impressive. I don't believe they're a good enough offensive team, and I don't believe they're coached well enough to actually make a real dent in the SEC. UCLA at Stanford. Stanford has underwhelmed, obviously. They're 1-2 to start the season. UCLA, they're an okay team. They're not great. They're not bad, but they're going up to play Stanford. I want to see if Stanford took that loss last week personally. And if they want to come out and punch someone dead in the jaw, dead in the mouth, lose a couple of chiclets, have those teeth hit the floor, let's see what Stanford is made of. Remember, this is a team that hasn't lost. And, oh, yes, they did. I take the back. They lost to USC. But they can still win the Pac-12 North. So let's see what's up with them. And then, of course, I will be covering the ASU-Oregon game. My concern is how much my Sun Devils will lose by. No more needs to be said about that. 917-889-7828 is the Carrie Lackey Law Line. If you want to call in on this Friday, you are more than welcome to. Or you can just sit back and listen to me, which is always a good thing to do. We're brought to you by Tzatziki's Pita Grill, where everything is made absolutely daily and made absolutely fresh. From the tzatziki sauce to the vegetables, nothing is reused the next day. Get out there and check them out. They are on Elliott and Priest, located in Tempe, Arizona. That's right, Tzatziki Pita Grill, the best Mediterranean food you will have in the Valley of the Sun. Make sure you let them know the PLR sent you from the Cave Show. Get 10% off of your meal. Baseball, I'm going to tell you this. And I've said it every day, and I'm going to keep stretching. We're not going to be on baseball long, but you talk about teams getting hot at the right time. Cleveland, they didn't get hot at the right time. They're staying hot at the right time. They are just straight, for lack of a better phrase, they're just straight out balling. Straight out balling. They keep winning. I said yesterday, or maybe it was the day before, I'd love to see Houston play them in an AL playoffs to see who goes to the World Series, but I don't know if I even want to see that. It's not that Cleveland is just pitching you to death. They're hitting you to death. They're giving you timely hits, late hits, game-winning hits. Honestly, I don't see anything on this team that I can honestly say, hey, that's a weakness attack that I don't see one. I just don't see one. And that is absolutely amazing. You know how everyone had that vibe about the Chicago Cubs last year? Initially, we thought it'd be the Dodgers because they got off to that slow start, but then they got hot. I mean, at one point, there were 50 games over 500. But now, they could actually lose best record to Cleveland. Cleveland's coming on. No. I take it back. Cleveland has came on. In the American League, the way the wild card looks right now, I'll give it to you like this. The Yankees, 6.5-game lead on, 2.5-game lead on the Rangers. Anaheim is still technically in the mix. The Royals are technically in the mix. But once you start getting down to the Royals and Seattle and Tampa Bay and Baltimore, no, that's next year. The National League, Diamondbacks are leading the way. Then you have Colorado, Milwaukee, St. Louis, all bunched up in there. It's over for Miami. So we're just kind of wrapping up and seeing what's going on. We do have a caller. Let's get our caller online. Thank you for calling. This is the Cave Show. Caller, who do I have online?
Ryan Dorfman.
Hey, it's the best intern in the game. What's up, buddy?
What's going on?
Ryan Dorfman. Ryan, you are the host of?
I'm the host of USC Meets Fantasy Sports on Cave Show.
Right here on the Sports Cave Network. What's going on, my man? Talking a little baseball right here. I'm talking about how those Cleveland Indians are just unbeatable.
Not anymore.
27 out of 28. To me, that's pretty much unbeatable. I mean, they're playing great at the right time.
You know what? If they fall in line with history, they're in trouble. I mean, the Patriots were like, what, 17-0, and they lost in the finals. And then you had the Golden State Warriors going 73-9, and they lost in the finals. I mean, Cleveland Indians could make it all the way and then lose if they follow in line with those other teams.
Well, I seem to remember history as well. And the 27 Yankees won a bunch of games, and they won a World Series. And the 69-win Lakers that won 32 in a row, they won the NBA title. And the Bulls that won 72 games, they won the NBA title. So I don't know what line you're talking about, but it has happened before.
The 27 Yankees had Babe Ruth, and the Lakers had, you know, Kareem and Magic,
That was Wilt and Jerry West.
Okay, fine. They had Wilt Chamberlain. Oh, it's 69. That's the 89. 69. Okay, they had Wilt Chamberlain. Jerry West, I'm pretty sure, may have been on the team as well. I don't know. I do know that MJ was on the Bulls team that you're talking about. So all these had arguably some of the greatest players of all time on their rosters. I don't know if you can say that about the Indians. I mean, it's kind of crazy.
Let me ask you a question. Who would you bet your money on right now to win the World Series?
I'm biased, man. I'm going to put money on the Yankees.
Okay. And then realistically, who would you put your money on?
Realistically, probably the Cleveland Indians.
Do you realize you just argued yourself again?
Well, I'm just playing devil's advocate, you know?
You know what? That is one thing I've noticed that you do very well. You argue your point, and then you argue your point, which is great because it's like I have two people on at the same time. Because you can put up this great argument. And then you go against your argument with a better argument than the argument you started with. So it's like having two people on at once. You are two guests. You're Ryan and you're Dorfman.
What can I say?
What about the National League? National League, I think, is wide open.
Oh yeah, that's tough. You know, there's so many teams. I think this is the year for Washington. But you know, I could definitely see Chicago, you know, getting back to the World Series. You know, they've kind of been flying under the radar because they haven't really had the season they had last year. But Chicago, and I'm not really seeing it from the Dodgers. You know, because when you go on a bad streak like that, just they just look like they're not there. They don't have that it factor at the moment that I usually would like to see from a champion. So I think getting Bryce Harper back for the Nationals, they've got a great team, great organization. I think it's going to be the Nationals and the Indians. I think it's going to be a terrific series, but I could see Chicago in there.
You know, as much as I love Dusty Baker, and I so want to see him finally get to a World Series, shut people up, I really want to see that. But the way this division is put together, the National League is put together, is so interesting. The Diamondbacks can't really beat the Rockies, who may go in and play the one game, but they can beat the hell out of the Dodgers. The Nationals seem like they found
a way.
They
can definitely beat the Rockies.
Really? For whatever reason, though, they don't play them the way they play the Dodgers. They beat the Dodgers. They struggle back and forth with the Rockies.
To your point, I'll say they did beat the Dodgers. However, they didn't have to face Darvish or Kershaw. And I made the contention that it doesn't really count. If you're going to say that I beat the Cavaliers without LeBron, Kyrie, and Kevin Love last year, I mean, does that really mean you beat the Cavaliers? Not really. I mean, you might have beat them, but you didn't really beat them at their full strength. So it doesn't really count for me. Now, I'll say this about the Rockies, that they probably take the Rockies lighter than they take the Dodgers because it's the big, bad Dodgers. But I'll tell you right now that I don't think that the Rockies are going to be able to come to Chase Field and win a game against Robbie Ray or Zach Greinke, because I think that those two guys have been really great. And I think the Dodgers – I honestly think the Diamondbacks want it more. After what they've gone through the past few years, this team wants it more. And I think that they're going to get it, at least against the Rockies.
You want to hear something? That phrase drives me nuts. I think when you have two great teams playing for one position or playoffs, I don't think any team wants it more than any other team. I really don't.
Are you kidding me right now? You're telling me the last year the Cubs didn't want it more than any other team, having not won it in like 160 years? I definitely think
yeah,
the Cubs want it more.
But you know what? I don't. Because you know what? Back in 9/11, the year of 9/11, you can't tell them. That's like saying, well, the Yankees wanted it more so they could do it for the city and do it for what happened and do it all that. The Diamondbacks wanted it just as much that year, and they ended up winning it. I just think that's one of those places.
They got lucky
like when,
that year.
Hey, luck, good, whatever. They won the World Series. So my point, though, is if it's a baseball game and it's Tampa Bay versus, I don't know, Cincinnati, and it's game 150-55, and they're not going anywhere fast, and you tell me Tampa Bay wanted it more, they really came out and played Cincinnati, looked like they were ready to go home for the year. That I buy. But two teams vying for a next round of the playoffs or win a World Series, I don't think any team wants it more than any other team. I just think that's a cliche that sports writers and sports radio guys like us use a lot. It's almost like another one's in the books. How many times have we heard people say that? Another one's in the books.
How about the Red Sox won it all the year of the Boston bombing?
I don't believe they wanted it more. I just think they just won. They played better.
How about this? Let me rephrase what I said. Maybe they don't want it more. I will say this. I think Diamondbacks have more fire under their butts than the Rockies might have. I think that they have more reason to fight. I feel like there's just something about this Diamondbacks team that leads me to believe that they're going to have that extra just gritty factor that's going to get them to that next series. I think that their will to win the game and their heart is more than the Rockies. And that's I think they're going to win because of that.
Well, I'll tell you this. According to my man that plays for the Rockies, they've got something coming, especially the Diamondbacks, especially with Greinke, who refuses to sign autographs for him. So maybe the Rockies are just a little bit more pissed off because Greinke didn't sign any extra autographs for my man from Colorado. I thought that was great. I can't believe that actually made the news.
Greinke doesn't talk to anybody. He doesn't talk to anybody, man. Greinke's one of the quietest guys ever.
Yeah. Yes, he is. All right, well, you gave me yours. I'm going to give you my World Series pick. I think it's a rematch.
Yeah. Okay.
I think the Cubs and Indians will be back.
That's fair.
That's hard to say with the, you know, but yeah, I think the Cubs and them will be back. Listen, we're about
to
transition.
The last time
you get
a rematch?
Go for it.
Do you know the last time you had a rematch?
Oh, the last time.
That's been a long time.
Was it the Dodgers, Yankees, and
yes.
No. Wait. Yeah, it was. Then, huh? 77-78.
Yeah.
There you go. There's a trivia. Hey, I like that.
You're going on the record. You're saying that this is the year you have a rematch. That's bold.
I believe it. I really do.
But go ahead.
Well, you know what? You know why? Because I believe the Cubs struggled through two big things when the season started. One, losing Dexter Fowler. They had to really get it back together because he set the table for that offense. And I think they really – it took a while for them to get in the flow without him being there because of all the stuff that he gave them. And then I think they got that figured out, too. You've been – and I hate to give a pass, but it's the truth. You've been chasing something for 108 years, and now you finally got it. And you had to have, no matter what anyone says on that team, you had to have the what's next now. I mean, we've been this lovable loser for all these years, and now we're the winners. Like, why we're being chased? It's an odd position to be in. It's not like the Yankees who won it, 26, 27 times. It's not that. It's not St. Louis who's won it like 13, 14, 15 times. We're talking about 108 years. Now teams are coming after you. Now you've actually hit the top of the mountain. And you're great everywhere. You don't have to buy a dinner in the city of Chicago. You haven't bought a beer in the city of Chicago since you won the World Series. You can't tell me you haven't lived in that moment for a while. And now they understand the playoffs are about to start. They've won 8 out of their last 10. And it's snapped back like, okay, this is the time. And I think that's why. Because they've always been a great team. No matter, you know, I think Lackey's pitching underhanded now, but they've always been a great team. So I just.
For sure.
I think that's why. Listen, we're about to transition. You get to fill in today. I bet you didn't even know that was going to happen. But since you called in, just found out close to time that Chambers, who usually comes on Fridays now, and we pick who we think will win, like our favorites in the NFL this week.
Okay.
I owe everyone an apology, first off, because I said I would rather go shopping with my mom than watch the Rams and the Niners. And I accidentally started watching that game last night, accidentally, slipping through. I said, let's see what's up, and saw like a play that was crazy. I said, I'll watch it just a couple minutes more. And I ended up having to leave the house, but I watched almost all that game after I told everyone, do not watch this game because it will bore you to death. And they combined for the most points ever scored on a Thursday night. So I apologize to everyone. I was dead wrong. That was a great game last night.
Yeah, and also, that score of 41-39, I don't know how this is even possible. That's the first time that has ever been scored in the NFL.
Well, let's get going with these picks. Baltimore at Jacksonville in London.
Baltimore.
Oh, and by the way, don't forget to set your fantasy picks early.
True. That's true. Yep. Baltimore, though.
Baltimore. Okay, I'm going with Baltimore. At first, I thought I was going to go with Jacksonville, and then Tommy Sims hit me.
Jacksonville's not bad. They're actually not that bad this year.
They're not. I think on Chambers' show, I may have taken him. I don't remember. Denver goes to Buffalo.
That's going to be Denver. I think Simeon has a big week this week.
I'm with you. Pittsburgh goes to the greatest stadium ever in the NFL by one of the people who, the ex-owner, who helped start the NFL, Papa Bear himself. Pittsburgh goes to Chicago, the greatest city in America. And who do you have in that Pittsburgh versus Chicago game?
I have Pittsburgh. However, I'll say that if Trubisky starts, I wouldn't be shocked if Chicago made it close.
But you still have Pittsburgh winning, no matter what.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. If I'm the Bears, I would not start Trubisky at all for the next few weeks. And here's why. You play the Steelers, mm-hmm. you play the Packers, then you go to Minnesota, then you go to the Ravens.
Right.
Or excuse me, Minnesota home. Then you go to the Ravens. Then you have the Panthers. And say what you will, the Panthers' defense is still a decent defense. Then you get released and play the Saints. That's where I'd play. Because the Saints
yeah.
are awful. Or
yeah,
even
that
if you play against
tough.
The – So I would not start him off with that gauntlet of – and we know Green Bay doesn't have the best defense, but it's still
yeah.
Green Bay, still Aaron Rodgers, and it's still in Green Bay. So I would
right.
I would hold off on him until we get the Saints. No one fixes a bad offense like the New Orleans Saints defense.
Understand.
So,
that's understandable. I could get behind that.
With that said, I'm taking Pittsburgh. Atlanta
yeah.
at Detroit, which I think will be the game of the week, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. I'm going with Detroit in this one. I'm picking the upset here. I think Detroit pulls this one out.
I don't know if that's even an upset anymore, but I'm going to go with Atlanta. In the game, I said it was going to be San Francisco and L.A., but I was wrong. This is the game nobody wants to watch. Cleveland goes into Indianapolis.
Quick note about this game. The Browns are actually favored on the road for the first time in a long time. Nevertheless, I'm going with the Colts. Still not giving the Browns any love.
I'm going with the Brownies.
Okay.
Going with the Brownies. Tampa Bay, Minnesota.
I think, I had Minnesota winning this game. And without Sam Bradford, though, I think Tampa Bay.
Yeah. Case Keenum is their quarterback in Minnesota, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Tampa Bay. Houston goes to New England.
Man, I think this is going to be a blowout. I think the Patriots defense is going to have a field day here. I'm going with New England all the way.
You and me both. Miami goes to,
yeah.
I can't even believe I'm going to say this. Miami goes to the Jets.
Yeah. Anyone playing the Jets is probably going to win. I think the Jets might go 0-16 this year, so I'm going with the Dolphins in this one.
New York goes to Philadelphia.
New York and Philadelphia. By the way, you didn't even give me your pick for that game, but I'm assuming you didn't because you probably assumed that.
I didn't give it because it'd be the most ridiculous thing in the world if I actually justified making that pick.
I'm going, you know what, man, I don't know. I'm going to say the Giants fall to 0-3, the Eagles pull this one out. I've really liked Carson Wentz so far this year. He's looked great. I'm going with the Eagles.
I'm with you. I've said it before. I'm going to keep saying it until someone believes me. Philadelphia's going to win that division. New Orleans goes to Carolina.
I'm going to go with Carolina here. I think Cam Newton has a good game against that terrible Saints defense. Until that defense can actually do something, New Orleans is in trouble. So I'm going to go with the Panthers in this one. McCaffrey's going to have huge game.
I'm with you for a couple different reasons. One, New Orleans defense sucks, and New Orleans playing outside. So their defense sucks, and they're playing outside where they never win anyway. And honestly, I think this is something I've said before, too. Sean Payton reminds me of Ozzie Guillen in that when Ozzie Guillen won the World Series for the White Sox, he was a made man in that city. He could do whatever he wanted. The first couple of years after, they were still very competitive. Even when they weren't competitive, he was still living on the fact that he brought a World Series to Chicago and to the White Sox. Mm-hmm. Reindorf loved that. He was a made man. I feel the same way about Sean Payton. New Orleans has sucked for a while, but he's brought a Super Bowl to New Orleans, and so he gets more leeway than any other coach would have gotten because maybe it's time for them to go another direction since their defense is continuously bad and their offense,
yeah.
even though it's good, it's not as good as it once was. So
yeah.
I think he gets a little leeway. But yeah.
they won it that year. That was the same year of Katrina, I'm pretty sure. They won. So
it was the year after.
I think it also
it was the year after.
Oh, was it the year? Okay, it was the year after then.
It was the year after.
I'm just saying it doesn't help that the fans are kind of attached to him because of that as well.
Right.
But go ahead.
Seattle, Tennessee.
This is going to be a good game, by the way. This is going to be a good game. I honestly, this is tough. Like, I'm going – oh, man, this is really, really tough. I'm going with the Titans. I'm feeling the Titans are going to win this game, as crazy as that sounds. But Seattle just hasn't – their offense is awful. Like, Seattle has – Jimmy Graham is out now. Like, it's just – I'm going with the Titans here, as crazy as that sounds.
I got the Titans too. I think their offense is terrible. And last I checked, Jimmy Graham has been out since week two or 3 years ago. I mean, he's been non-existent. I think part of the reason is Seattle doesn't put him in a position to be as successful. When he was down in New Orleans, they did so many different things with him. In fact, I don't know if you remember, but they spread him out as a wideout so much, he wanted wideout money. Now they just and look, let's just be honest. Jimmy Graham isn't exactly the toughest guy in the world. So you bump him or chip him coming off the line, you pretty much have him done anyway.
Which
so yeah,
weird
I'm with you with Tennessee.
That he was a basketball player. But then again,
basketball's
gotten notoriously soft. So maybe it's not weird.
Yeah, he's more of a finesse guy. And that's why he works so well, because
that's
he can use his size against the safety. Well, now he's not even getting to the safety because the linebacker is popping his tuchus right off the line when he comes off. There's no free release. The Red Rocket leads Cincinnati into Green Bay. Who are you with?
Well, I'm going to try to put my bias aside here, but even when I do put my bias aside here, the Bengals are still terrible. So I'm going to say that the Packers easily run away with this. And until the Bengals put Joe Mixon in at running back, which is what they should do, I'm not going to be picking them to beat anybody pretty much. So Packers all the way, in Green Bay.
Much as that pains me to say, Packers will win that game. Kansas City goes to the Los Angeles Chargers, and I have to slow it down when I say this so I don't say San Diego. They're going to play the Los Angeles Chargers, who will try not to lose a game 3 weeks in a row with under a minute left. So can they do that?
Well, man, let me tell you something first. I think the Chargers are the best 0-2 team in the NFL. I'm not sure how much of a compliment that is, but I feel like they are because they lost, two very close games that they lost, special teams wise. I think the Chiefs are just a little, they're still riding high. They're 2-0. They have a win over New England. They're feeling it right now. And, I think they're going to put the Chargers in a tough hole. Chargers fall to 0-3, Chiefs win.
Do you follow boxing and MMA and all that stuff? And what is the one rule in boxing that they always say? Don't leave it to the judges to make the decision. And we just saw that in the fight a couple weeks ago. You never leave it to the judges. You knock them out. That way the judges don't have to decide. In Los Angeles for the Chargers, it's don't leave it to your kicker. Win decisively. That way he doesn't have to come on the field.
Yeah.
I'm going with the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs are the best team in that division. I think that is the best division of football. I think you're going to have a team that's 13-3, another one that's 12-5, another one that's 11-4, and San Diego. I did it. The Los Angeles Chargers will be the best 7-9 team in football.
Yeah, probably. Yep, I agree.
So, and then Sunday night, we have the Raiders playing Washington.
Okay. I really like this game. For a lot of reasons, I'm going with the Redskins in this game to beat the Raiders. Unpopular pick, but I'm feeling like Washington's going to pull this one out at home and shock a lot of people and beat the Raiders.
Well, I'm ready to not be shocked because I have the Raiders in this game. then Monday night, Dallas comes to Arizona.
I think that's going to be a really ugly game. I gotta go with Dallas in this one. Arizona has too many holes, and Dallas, I don't think it's gonna be close. Arizona almost lost to Indianapolis without Andrew Luck. Dallas is gonna beat them.
I think the Cardinals are in more trouble than people want to say they are. Carson Palmer has not hit the bottom. I still think Carson Palmer is a very serviceable quarterback, but you can see the gradual descent. He can still make throws. I just don't think he can make them consistently enough. The one thing about Dallas that worries me, though, is their defense is garbage. There's no getting around.
Yeah,
their defense is god-awful terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But the Cardinals flip that. They're missing Mikey Potty and DJ Humphries. They have no left side of their line. And Carson Palmer is an apartment building standing back there. So I think this is the game Dallas controls the ball. I don't think you see another week like that from the Dallas offense. I think Ezekiel Elliott has a big game. And when he has big games and they're controlling the ball, it keeps the other offense off the field. And I don't think the Cardinals have found enough rhythm to sit for 6 or 7 minutes and long drives to come back and still be in rhythm to score and do things. So I'm with you with Dallas. I just think it has, and obviously since we're located in the Phoenix area, I just wanted to give a little bit more of an explanation with them. But I think that the Cardinals just I sound like the bearer of bad news here, and I'm sure I'm getting a middle finger from local people, but I just don't think the Cardinals are better than even a 6 or 7 win team this year. I just don't see it. There's nothing that I've seen that says they're better than that yet. I haven't seen it yet.
I agree. And let me tell you something about this this Dallas team. This game, I meant. I'm thinking – I agree with you. Big game from Zeke Elliott. I'm also going to point out Cole Beasley. Now, look, I know I had comments about him a few weeks ago. I think this is a good game for Beasley. I think Dez Bryant's going to be just swallowed up by Patrick Peterson. Someone's going to have to catch the ball. I don't think it's going to be Witten. I'm feeling like Beasley might have a pretty good game.
You know what's funny, Ryan? I'm with you 100% on that. I think almost said Michael Beasley. Well, if that doesn't start a fight, I don't know what will. Cole Beasley, I'm with you. I had Ed Smith joined the show the other day, who does his show on NBC Radio from 10 to 12 every Saturday. The Ed Smith Speak Show. And I'm going to tell you something. Him and I were talking, and I just don't think Dez is even a top 12 receiver anymore. I definitely don't think he's top five. The separation seems to be gone.
Do you think it's the talent, or do you think, like, it's mental?
I don't think it's – okay, if he were just dropping balls all willy-nilly, I would say maybe mental. But he's not even getting separation. I mean, he can talk about Janoris Jenkins all he wants in New York, but when they played the Giants, he was blanketed. He was getting no separation at all. And – Patrick Peterson is, in my opinion, the second best cornerback behind Richard Sherman in the league.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
If he couldn't get separation from Janoris Jenkins, and this is no disrespect to Janoris Jenkins, who's a very good cornerback, there is no way in heck he's getting separation. It's just not going to happen.
Especially with Honey Badger going in the secondary. I mean, he's coming over the top. It's not going to be pretty for Dez Bryant.
Yep. But I think it's amazing how it's almost like everyone's watching tape on him now, if that makes any sense. You know, it's like in baseball. Aaron Judge, and this has been over years, not over a year like Aaron Judge. But first go around, you send the ball from New York to Boston. Every home run was flying 80 miles. But after the All-Star break, he had to get himself back together because that second and third time around with pitchers, they knew him. And they weren't giving him anything he could hit. Now he's figured that out, and now it's his turn. And that's why when you see guys, you know, like an Antonio Brown or a Julio Jones, you really know how great they are because you know that they're going to be triple, double coverage. They're going to roll safeties. They're going to play crazy man zones on them, and yet they still find a way. So Dez hasn't done that. Odell's the same way. He's just banged up right now. You know, he really should be resting another week or two. But those guys find a way. You can't tell me that you don't know Antonio Brown is getting the ball, but you can't do anything about it.
Yeah,
he finds a way.
Crazy.
So it's that's what separates those guys from other guys. What's the kid that plays in Boston? I mean, Boston and Denver, Demaryius Thomas.
Yeah.
He's a good wide receiver. He's not a great wide receiver. You can take him out of a game plan. Those other guys, you can't. So
yeah,
I'm interested in it. I think you're right. I think Cole Beasley has a great game this week.
Yeah.
Couple quick points because before we get out of here, Aaron Hernandez, stage 3 CTE. He was, what, 24 when he stopped playing?
Yeah, he was that's
crazy.
Yeah.
That means he's taken a lot of headshots in high school and in college. And I think college gets out of this whole CTE thing. Because once you're done from school, they're done with you. That's it.
Yeah.
They're not legally responsible for anything. They're not on the hook medically for anything. And it still to this day amazes me that we put these kids at risk with head injuries, knee injuries, all these injuries they could possibly get that could last their entire life. But we just call them student athletes and they shouldn't get a dime. That still amazes me.
Yeah, I agree. I'll say one quick thing on that. I was in class about earlier this week. My teacher says, hey, for those of you that played football, when was your earliest memory of a concussion? One kid says, I was around 9 or 10 years old. I got my bell rung. I walked to the other sideline. I don't know if that was a concussion. He says, that was a concussion. He likes kids getting concussed at 9, 10 years old. That's where these problems start. Crazy.
Yep.
It's crazy.
Yep. Ryan, tell everyone how they can get a hold of you.
Get a hold of me on Twitter, at Ryan Dorsch, and then ask me any questions, fantasy-related, general. I'm there.
There you go. Hey, man, I appreciate it. And, of course, you can get us at The Sports Cave, Twitter, Facebook, fan page, Instagram. Make sure you go to thesportscave.com. A lot of good stuff up there. Check it out. Then you can get me directly at PLR on Sports. Ryan, I'm in this 80s mood today. So I've been playing this 80s music all day, and I figured I'd bring it to the show because I'm all jacked up because it's the weekend, and there's football all weekend. So I'm not sure how familiar you are with a little 80s Miami music, but this is the way we are signing off the air today. Thanks for calling, my man. I appreciate it. Listen, I'm going to have to catch up with you.
The intern is 2-0.
It's a marathon, not a sprint. But, yes, the intern is 2-0. And, hey, buddy, but listen, we'll catch up a little bit later because I got some information I need to share with you. But I appreciate you coming on. Thanks, Ryan. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
That was the one and only Ryan Dorf. And like I said, it's the weekend, folks. Let's get into this. Yes, I'm really listening to Exposé. This is real. I'm really listening to Exposé. All right, everyone, have a good weekend. Hopefully you enjoy the football. Hopefully you enjoy the weekend. More importantly, enjoy your family. And prayers are still out for all those places ravaged by natural disasters. Until Monday, this is PLR. Take care.